And we're all on a journey. The journey doesn't end today. The journey continues. We've been, that's the theme of Lent all the way leading up to Easter Sunday. Here we are, Easter Sunday. The journey continues. Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem to face his accusers, to accomplish the mission they had come to do. He came to accomplish the mission of death. Now, when I say that, he came to die on the cross. But he did that for you and me. He did that because of the love of the Father, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit. He did that for all of us. And so let's take a look. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. We've already made reference to some of that. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. I'll read that and then I'll pray and we'll continue our journey together. So after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, yet afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Father, thank you for your words to us this morning. God, we continue to worship you this morning. Thank you for what you've done for us by your grace and your love for us. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the angel tells them, first he says, "Don't be afraid." Right? I think I would have been afraid to see a white glowing person. I probably would have been terrified. We see that scripture quite often, don't we? Angels, Jesus. "Don't worry, I've got this. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Don't be fearful." And the angel's message to the women, "He's risen. He's not here. As you can see, he's not there. He's risen just as he said." Just as he said. I want to hang there for a moment. Just as he said. Jesus predicted his death and resurrection three times at least in the Gospels, a little bit more in John. There's some references to it. He predicted it. He told his disciples. He said, "This is going to happen. Guaranteed. This is what's going to happen." So, first prediction is found in Matthew 16, second in Matthew 17. There's a third one in Matthew 20. Similar predictions in Mark 8:31, Luke 9:22. Each prediction emphasizes that he would suffer, he'd be rejected, he'd be killed, but that he would be raised 3 days later. Y'all, that's Easter. He would suffer. He would be rejected. He would be killed. He would be raised days later. That's Easter. Resurrection Sunday. That's why we gather. I want to share three things from the text. Three things with you. I'm going to tell you what they are, and then I'll tell you what they are. Here's what they are. First one. You always start. Here it is. Number one, the cross was not the end. Resurrection transforms everything. The cross was not the end. Resurrection transforms everything. That's number one. Number two, Jesus leads them from death into life, from despair into hope. Jesus leads them from death into life, from despair into hope. Yeah, that's number two. Number three, the journey now becomes a mission to share the good news. I like interaction, interactive. I like it. If you have questions, hold on to them until later, but we'll... Number three, what was number The journey now becomes a mission to share the good news. The journey now becomes a mission to share the good news. Okay. First one, here it is again. The cross was not the end. The resurrection transforms everything. Lee Strobel was a writer for the Chicago Tribune. This is years ago. Maybe you've heard of his name. He's written a number of books. The Case for Christ is one of his most famous books, so to speak. The Case for Christ, it was made into a movie. If you haven't seen the movie, I'd recommend it. It's very powerful. But it's a story of Lee's life as a skeptic. He began as a skeptic, okay? We're going to, throughout the message this morning, we're going to refer back to Lee and his wife, Leslie, okay? But that's just an introduction. He was the legal reporter for the Chicago Tribune at the time when he was an atheist, okay? Did not believe that there was a God. Did for sure not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Lee Strobel, okay? The Apostle Paul speaks of the power of the resurrection from 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 is an early church creed because it was written so soon after the resurrection of Christ. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this to the church in Corinth, and he talked about the resurrection, and it talked about our faith. And this is what he said. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he said this: and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So to stand here before you and preach would be useless. And your faith would be futile. If Christ indeed had not been raised from the dead, we would be pitied. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead, but He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But, there's a big but, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Paul is saying, if it wasn't true, we're lost. But if it's true, which it is, that's good news. That's Easter. That's why we celebrate. Lee didn't believe that. Lee didn't believe that. And for 2 years, two solid years, he was an investigative legal reporter. For 2 years, he set out on a journey to disprove the claim that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. His wife, Leslie, had gone to a church service, and she said yes to Jesus by faith. She'd become a Christian. Ooh, that irked Lee. He didn't like that at all. So for two solid years, he did some investigating of his own. He actually traveled thousands of miles and would go to experts, so-called, of the resurrection, of biblical scholars, of the Scriptures. And he did all this on his own, his investigative reporting, to find out about this stuff. So his wife Leslie was a Christian. She thought that Lee was beyond hope. No hope for Lee. Here's what she said. Leslie says, when I was a new Christian, I met some women at the church and I told them, I don't have any hope for my husband. He's the hard-headed, hard-hearted legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. He'll never bend his knee to Jesus Christ. Never. Leslie describes how one woman heard that at the church. She walks over to her, puts her arm around her shoulder, and says, "Oh, Leslie, no one is beyond hope. No one is beyond hope." The woman showed her a verse in the Old Testament. In fact, it's from Ezekiel 36:26, which says this: "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and will give you a heart of flesh." She had prayed that verse, Leslie, she had prayed that verse every day for 2 years, that her husband would say yes to Jesus by faith. The angel tells the women who had come to the tomb. They had come to the tomb believing that the tomb would still be covered with the tombstone. It wasn't. The angel says to them, "He's not here. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead, is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" The cross was not the end. Resurrection transforms everything. Number two, Jesus leads from death to life, from despair to hope. He did that for Leslie. Jesus had touched her. She had said yes to Jesus by faith. She had been transformed. She had been given a new heart, not a heart of stone. She'd been given a heart of flesh. Brand new heart, new creation. And after all the searching and investigating and gathering, he did that for Lee. Lee said this: "One Sunday afternoon, while he was alone in his bedroom, after accumulating," these are his words, "after accumulating so much evidence, I knew it was time to reach a verdict. So I took out a legal pad," much like this one. This isn't Lee's legal pad, but this is his facsimile. "Took out a legal pad and began summarizing all of the historical data I had encountered during my 21-month odyssey." Then he said this: "I filled page after page until finally I realized, in light of the avalanche of evidence that points so powerfully toward the truth of Christianity, it would have required more faith to maintain my atheism than to become a Christian." Now, my story isn't similar to Lee's. I wasn't an atheist become Christian. I was a Christian that was transformed by the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. I was coasting in my life, going to church with my mom once in a while, part of the confirmation class. I went 2 years. Did I tell you I cheated on my confirmation? Confirmation students, don't listen to this. I used my brother's old stuff, filled out the answer. It was just going, I was going through the motions. It wasn't until I was a teacher and a coach in Minot, North Dakota, I went to a weekend gathering of folks. They had a worship service on that Sunday. And I was sitting there in that auditorium thinking, I'm a fake, really. I'm not living out my faith. I believe. And it was that morning where Jesus got a hold of my heart and said, you're right. You've been playing. You've been faking it. Today is the day things change. I recommitted my life to Christ that day. Lee said this. It would have required more faith to maintain my atheism than to become a Christian. Jesus touched Leslie, he touched Lee, he touched me. Today he wants to touch you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, ran to tell his disciples. Were they starting to get it? Were they starting to realize what was happening? Were they coming to realize that Jesus leads them and us from death into life, from despair into hope? Were they starting to get it? The Apostle Paul said it this way from 2 Timothy 1, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He did that for Leslie. He did it for Lee. And now he wants to do it for you and your family and your friends and your neighbors. Here's what Lee said. At that moment, I reached my verdict. Based on the historical data, I was convinced that Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, but he also validated that claim by returning from the dead. I put down my pen. Was that it? Was I finished? Is that all there is? I felt like I was stuck, Lee says. But then I remembered a verse that a Christian friend pointed out to me once. I went and found my Bible, Lee says. Dug it out, quickly found John 1:12. Yet, To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Here's number three, third thing I want you to remember this morning. The journey now becomes a mission to share the good news. The journey now becomes the mission to share the good news. And I was going to embarrass you too for a moment, if I can. Sage and Caitlin have chosen, they've received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they believe God wants them to continue on in mission as missionaries to a lost world. Wherever God leads them. Professional missionaries, not professional Christians. They're two young people who have had their lives and their hearts changed by Jesus and transformed by him. And now they have the desire to share that with others. Y'all, listen to me. You have the same mission. You don't have to necessarily go around the world to a foreign nation. You can, if God's leading you that way. But you can go across the street. You can go sit with a person in the lunchroom that's sitting by themselves. You can, to another family member, say, hey, do you know Jesus? I know him. This is what he's done for me. And can I tell you about him? So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Isn't that great? They were still afraid and still going, what's going on? What have I just seen? What have I just witnessed? Afraid yet still filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus meets them. Greetings, he said. They came to him. They clasped his feet because they recognized him. And they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Probably didn't yell it at him, but do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers what you've just seen and witnessed. Go tell them. I'll meet them in Galilee. Go tell them. There they will see me. Like you have. They'll see me. That's the response of one who has become a child of God, who has been touched by Jesus and has said yes to him by faith. So we journey to the cross and there believe and receive from Jesus, then go and share and point others to him. So Lee became a follower of Christ that afternoon. Of course, he had to tell his wife, Leslie. Why wouldn't he? She had been praying for him for 2 years, every day. So this is, you got to hear this. This is Lee's words. My very next thought was that maybe Leslie would like to know what I've done. So I emerged from our bedroom, walked down the hallway, looked into the kitchen where I saw Leslie behind the kitchen sink. Our daughter Allison, who then was nearly 5 years old, was standing in front of her. Allison was on her toes and reaching out to touch the faucet. It was the first time she had ever been able to reach the faucet. Look, Daddy, I can reach it. She exclaimed, I can touch it. That's great, I said, as I gave her a big hug and she scampered off. I turned to Leslie. You know, that's exactly how I feel, I told her. I've been reaching for someone for a long time. And today, I was finally able to touch him. Jesus is resurrected. He's alive. And I just gave him my life. Of course, Leslie burst into tears, kind of like I am now. The rest is a story of God's grace, touching a heart and then touching others. Just as a side note, Allison, who was five then, I think she's like 30 now. She's got a family of her own. She's in Christian ministry of some kind. Their son is also in ministry of some kind. So a father saying yes to Jesus impacted his family for the kingdom to continue and to spread. The journey continues. He is risen. Let's go. Father, thank you for your love for us and your grace. God, you have called us into missions because we are missionaries, we're ambassadors, because we know Jesus. And Lord, help us, led by your Spirit, to go into all the world, preach the good news, to share Jesus, point others to him. In Jesus' name, amen.